On this Sunday, every one of us are reminded of the price that is paid to leave a legacy. Don't know if you've ever had opportunity to visit our National Cemetery in Arlington, but if you have not, it's well worth your time to take that trip and to look over the grandeur of the many men and women who have paid the price and in reality have left a legacy, that they will die for their country. But you know, you can't go there without looking at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I don't know if you know very much of the history of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, but if you do not, you need to. But just one of the interesting tidbits of that special place is this. There are probably less than 500 individuals in the complete military that have the honor of carrying the insignia, the badge that they have guarded the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If by chance you go there, be mindful of this. For that man to walk the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, he meets the most stringent of requirements. And probably it takes him up to 12 hours to get his uniform right for a new recruit. If he's more mature, then he can do it in 4 hours. I say that just to remind us that there is a price to leaving a legacy. But whenever you look in Scripture, I want us to look at the first martyr this morning, not only in our country, and it's well worth our time to remember our men and women who have given the ultimate price. But it's also well worth our time that you and I go back to the Word of God and be reminded of what it involves in leaving a legacy. I don't know if you ever ask yourself this question, but it's well worth you asking this. Am I leaving a godly legacy behind me? It's well worth every dad, every mother asking this question, uncle, aunt, mom, grandma, grandpa, to ask this question. What type of legacy will I leave behind me after I walk off the scenes of time? What will be remembered about my life? Will it be said of my life that I have left a godly legacy? If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts for just a moment, let me just give you a background as to what is happening before I read the few passages. In Acts chapter 6, something happens after the call of those precious deacons of God. The Bible says Stephen is one who is full of the Holy Spirit. He is a man among men. He is one that is absolutely dependent upon the Lord God. And he makes it very clear that he is a servant of the Most High God. And because of the way that he speaks and the boldness in which he speaks, others begin telling lies about him. They say, well, you know, he's speaking against the law of Moses and he's speaking against God. And it creates a crisis, it creates a conflict, and people are turned against him. And then those that are in lead and those that are in charge, they turn to Stephen and they ask this question, basically. Stephen, what do you have to say for yourself? What do you have to say in defense of what everybody is saying about you? And all throughout chapter 7, Stephen begins to orient everyone that's listening to the God of Abraham. He talks about how God has delivered Abraham, and he speaks very plainly and very boldly. And not only does he talk about the God of Abraham, but he talks about the God of Joseph and the God of Jacob and the God of Moses and the God of Solomon. And for a period of time when it seems as though they're wanting him to give them an answer, he does nothing but orient them to the living God. And as he orients them to the living God, the outcome is not what you would think. There was not a massive revival. There was not a massive repentance. People didn't turn to the living God, but literally they put their hands over their ears and they wanted to shut Stephen up. The very first servant of God, one of the first martyrs, one of the first that was killed for his belief, for what he stood for, was one of the first servants of God, Stephen. And when you begin reading in verse 55 of chapter 7, listen to what is said. But he, talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You and I would say he died. Here you have one of the first individuals in the New Testament, one of the first men, and the Bible doesn't give his age, but the Bible makes it very clear, this one man who laid down his life for what he believed in. Now, let me ask you a question. You may live to be 80, 90, but if you start subtracting your age from, let's say you live to be 80, how many more years will that be? Well, you don't know how long you're going to live, and I don't know how long I'm going to live. But it is a wise man, it is a wise woman who asked themselves seriously, soberly, honestly, what type of legacy am I leaving? Am I leaving a legacy behind me that my children will look at my life and they will be oriented to God? My grandchildren can look at my life and be oriented to the living God. You see, it's a wise person that makes it his or her business not just to walk through life and just to live day by day and get up and go to